Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the podcast. This week, I'm introducing you to a gal who's after my own heart. Susan Hensley believes in play. She believes in creativity. She believes in art. She believes that we all need a space and a place to discover what makes our hearts sing. And I really just loved meeting her. She has been a journalist. She's worked in HR. She's done the 9-to-5 grind. She has been out there along with most of the rest of us trying to create a fulfilled and beautiful life. And so one day, you know, Susan was confronted with, you know, what brings me joy? What makes my heart happy? And she discovered it at a gathering at her friend's house. And she talks a little bit about that later in this episode. But suffice it to say that Susan discovered something that day that changed her life and just might change all of ours. But I'll let Susan tell you all about that a little bit later in this podcast. Yet another excellent human being in this world who's creating beauty and bringing gifts to us, gifts we didn't even know we needed. So now, without further ado, here's my interview with Susan Hensley.
I had open heart surgery when I was 4, and I remember it very well. So 4 is pretty young for clear memories. I had a birth defect, and so that's when they fixed it. And I remember being in the hospital and not being particularly afraid. My memories are like the light, the pure golden light coming through, feeling loved, feeling safe. Back in the day, this was a long time ago, you were in wards, like you didn't have private rooms. And I was with there because heart surgeries, open heart surgery is so serious back, you know, 1968, to give folks my age. And I don't mind that, but you know, cause you're also with the very sick children who maybe had cancer and other things. And so just even seeing other children, even though mine was to fix something and I got discharged who were very ill, I ended up feeling God's presence then.
Well, I would love to ask you the main question of the podcast. I'd love for you to, it's kind of a statement too. It's like between a question and a statement. I would love for you to share any stories. It could be one story, a couple of stories where you feel like you've either witnessed or experienced something that you thought was magical or miraculous, or maybe even mysterious. I'd love to hear whatever you'd like to share.
Yeah. I think one I'm going to share, and gosh, there's a few, but I'm going to stick with one. Happened when I was about 16, and we were on vacation with another family, and we were in Kauai, and it was February, and that's the small, and this was a long, long time ago. That's the one of the smaller islands of Hawaii, and it gets a lot of rain. In February, we just had nothing but storms. And the other family and boys. So I was like the one left out. Like my parents had friends, my brother had friends, and it was me. And there was a brief moment of good weather. We went to a beach and a man had a heart attack and died in the surf. And my mom helped to pull him out. And we witnessed this and they were trying to give him CPR. It was very frightening, right? I mean, it's a tragic thing is even all these years later, as I'm telling to see and witness. And we went back to the condo where we were staying. And I don't even know if it was the same day because it's really blended. And the storms came in again. And I sort of went out on a bluff and the wind was blowing and the waves. I think, you know, you're thinking about life and how could this happen and who is this man's family. In that moment, I don't think the wind stopped and the sun came out and the waves stopped crashing. I don't actually think those things happened. It's the funny thing with an experience like that. It felt like it did. And the voice I heard was, sort of about being brave, leaning in, like you're here. You're here for a reason. And I didn't have anything to do and the poor man died. So it's not like I saved someone, but it was one of those really clear messages that I interpreted as there can be chaos all around you and you can feel stillness. Cause I would have sworn at that magical moment, the wind stopped, the sun came out, the waves stopped crashing. I don't actually think that. I think that was the experience of peace that I felt at a time that was so emotionally, I felt alone and isolated on the vacation. It wasn't that kind of vacation. We had just witnessed something truly tragic and terrible. And that's the moment. And, you know, until I've told you this story and I told you the Camino story about during a storm, I'm very curious about what storms represent to me, because I've now winged out two storm stories and that's a surprise to me.
I don't know. I've always thought of storms as both and, you know, they seem, depending on how... I don't know, violent the storm is, it can be complete chaos. You can have terrible winds and maybe branches of trees are breaking down in the neighborhood, or terrible lightning and the lightning strikes something, or thunder that maybe makes the whole house shake. But then afterwards, after the storm moves on, it's like everything is renewed and the birds are going crazy and everything's sparkling and shimmering with raindrops. And it's like this, almost like this really violent benediction, the kind of benediction that you don't want, because it's everybody thinks benediction is this really sweet, soft word of something miraculous, you know, being visited upon you. But I just now during this conversation, I'm contemplating the fact that even a violent storm afterwards, nature is like, oh my gosh, this, thank you, you know?
No, that's so beautiful. I love the adjectives and the description, and it ties to screenwriting, because I thought that is so beautifully said. And I think that the storm and then what emerges afterwards, what's washed away, what's left, it sort of gets in that duality that I think is, you know, humans having this experience, we're grappling with all the time, right? So much of it is and, right? It is just and we would like it because it would be more comfortable to be or, like, black or white, good, bad, right? And it would be easier for all of us and we wouldn't have the dilemmas, and just so much of it is and, you know, talk about full circle moments. I'm thinking to your first question, I said, you know, it's every day I'm sort of evolving. I think that's the answer. When I was younger, I had so much more certainty because I needed that certainty. Right? I didn't have the, if you will, the soul, the emotional capacity to hold all of that. And that's probably been the, honestly, the grace of living in the different experiences and of playing with art, of meditation, of journaling, of prayer, of really sort of spending time in contemplation, is it's helped me get so much more comfortable with, it's probably all an and.
I do have to say I'm 53 and I, you know, when I was younger, I felt like I kind of knew everything.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. Totally. Like I got this, I got a handle on this. You don't know what you're talking about. But now as I've gotten older, I kind of understand how much I just do not know.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of excited about it. It makes life really exciting.
You know, it makes life super exciting if you want to be curious about it and you want to accept that you don't know if something will be good or bad. I think that, you know, coming full circle to curiosity, as we create whatever's next in our lives and things happen that maybe surprise us and we want to think it's bad or all bad, there's that realizing you don't know. I mean, Japan and Vietnam, two countries that at different points, part, you know, is North Vietnam, we've been at war with, where Americans died, where people have died, where there's this history. And yet both in the relationships and the people, it's like, it's all, and I mean, now horribly moving and so much tragedy there, but you just recognize, you know, how much things can change, not even a full generation. Yeah, it's humbling. I think that's the word. I turned 60 this past year, and I am more in love with life and more humbled by life than I have ever, ever been.
What a gorgeous way to be in the world. I'm hoping, I mean, I'm hoping, I feel like I'm on track to where you are. I feel like I'm on that track, but I just am in love with the sentiment of living life with the idea always and, because for me, that just makes everything way more exciting and more fun. And there's so much more potential.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Cause then you get curious and then you create something new and better. Otherwise you're hiding and hunkering and clinging to maybe something that has passed. Right.
Absolutely. Yes. Here's to creating better things, saying yes. And.
Yes. Absolutely.
That's it. That's a wrap on my conversation with Susan. I really enjoyed talking to her, and I just so appreciate what she has given to the world in the form of this book. I think with all of us, or for most of us, I should say, you know, we have these lives where we go to work to make money. Our job might not be our greatest desire, and so we have to find what makes our heart happy, what makes our souls sing out after work, maybe after 5 o'clock, or maybe on the weekends. And I think this journal, this book that Susan has created, I think it's another way to discover what makes us happy. There will be a link in the episode show notes to click on to Susan's website, and then another link if you want to buy her book. And I talk in the episode about the front being so clean and it's easy to read. And I just love things that, you know, are beautiful like that, that are simple like that. And then you open it and you can have your own adventure. I really encourage you to support Susan in getting the book, and in getting the book, discovering another magical part of yourself. Thanks to everyone who listens. Please do consider leaving a rating or writing a little review. It means so much to me. You really have no idea. Thank you for listening. And here's my one request. Be like Susan. Be an adventurer. Whether Susan is adventuring all over the world, I think, what did she say? 92 countries. Whether she's going out there in the world having adventures or opening that gorgeous art journal, not knowing what it's going to bring forth out of her, not knowing what it's going to evoke out of her. And that's its own kind of adventure. I mean, you can have an adventure out in the world, or you can have an adventure right in your living room. So be like Susan, believe in the adventure, and every time you step out of your front door, make a promise to yourself that your day is going to be full of surprises, full of fun, and full of strangers who ultimately become your friends.